I guess I walked back there a while ago and smelled that food, and I just... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Today I'm going to abbreviate this message, and it's I say abbreviate. It was put together that way, and usually not often do you get an abbreviated message. You know, we're going to go the full thing, but this is our banquet day, and so I always bring a little shorter, lighter, and encouraging message. And that's just our thing, unless then the Lord can lead different. But so, you know, we're going to have just four things we're going to look at, and just mainly scripture and a few comments on them. So you get a break today. But before I do that, I want you to know you're given all these canned goods and all these things, and Ann handed me this, you have contributed to a record being set of these cook-at-home Thanksgiving food boxes you've been contributing to. Well, you're helping to feed a record 786 cook-at-home. So a lot of people are receiving benefits from what you're giving. So you never know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 786. That you can go into Thanksgiving holiday saying, wow, I helped do that. God used me to help do that. That's a lot of folks touched by giving. The Lord says, give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, running over without measure. That's exactly what'll happen when you give. You can't outgive God. So let's look at this. And I titled this just thanks to our giving God. We're going to move around with these passages. This is called a topical message. Mine are more that God gives me in what every pastor, teacher of the word is different, and I'm more of an expository, which means verse by verse, word for word, but topical is in there, and this is a topical message, meaning we're going to look at passages to help us just to be giving thanks and be grateful to God. So we'll skip around with these, and we'll just start with Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. In the New International Version, it says this, and you see at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. I'm going to move this stool because I've been told not to sit on it for a while. The physical therapist at the VA has said when you do that, you're pushing up into this, there's this band right here. And they have to work it out after I sit on that stool. Isn't that awful? And so anyway, it's like, stay off that stool for a little bit. Okay. You know. So very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so the first point here is, you go into these holidays, and no matter what you experience, don't you forget God loves you. You say, well, that's kind of... No, don't forget God loves you. Don't forget God loves you. No matter what you have to experience. And I was sharing with you, this past week was rough. The week before that was rough. And there were things in between. I had a lot of people. Every holiday season, this happens. And it happened. I always just kind of... As a matter of fact, in my position, I end up sort of dreading the holidays. Isn't it sad? But from Thanksgiving to New Year's, there are more depressed people, more hurt people, more people wanting to do things to themselves. And I get calls, and I'm out, and I'm trying to meet. And by the time, like just Thanksgiving, I was counting up this morning. Don't ever do that, by the way. And I said, out of the last 14 days, I have been involved in some trauma for 12 of those 14 days. Do you know what that'll do to you? And I'm running, I just run ragged. But I've had calls, I've had things happening, I've had deaths, had all kinds of things. And it's like, so 12, and I thought, don't add up any more days. Yeah, that's not healthy to say. I thought, I've been running around for 2 weeks. I can't seem to find a day. And I figured up the day every day, and it's like 12 out of 14. That's... Wow. Okay. So I have to be reminded by the Lord, Tony, I love you very much. And I love those people very much. And one of the things that comes through that I want to share with you is, don't try to fix everybody. It's a weakness of mine. It's a weakness for a lot of us as Christians. Help them, but you can't fix them. Only God can do that. And if you keep pressing, trying to fix everybody else, sooner or later, you will need to be fixed. And so step back and just rejoice in the fact God loves me, period. And He loves them. And He's their Savior. Not us. Not me. And in this work, I should know better, doing it as many years as I have, but I'll still try to get in there and all of a sudden find out, I have to realize, you're not their Savior. You're not their fixer. And if you're not careful, and I'm just sharing here, you know, just watch this now. If you're not careful, and I share this from my own experiences the hard way here, if you're not careful, people start looking to you to be their answer, you to do everything, you to, in a sense, to be their Savior instead of God, instead of Jesus. And it can happen to any of us, and I have to watch it all the time. So this message, though, is to encourage you that even if you blow it, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, you go into this holiday season, go into this Thanksgiving time, knowing that God loves you. And why? And what does He say here? He says, while you were still powerless, meaning you couldn't do a thing for yourself. There was nothing you could do to help you. And what did Jesus do? He died for the ungodly. Does that soak in? It also says that sometimes the people we're so mad at out there that we just can't stand, we have to remember that we at one time were probably very much like them, or we could have become like them had Jesus Christ not come into our lives. And so before you start judging or coming down on people too hard, just remember, we were like that. We were ungodly. We did things and said things. I mean, my goodness, look how much we do it after we know Jesus, after we ask Him into our heart. Ever ask yourself, am I really saved? You ever do that? You say something, to think things, you just get so rowdy, and you ever ask yourself, do I even know the Lord the way I'm acting today? If somebody saw you, would they think you knew the Lord? Did anybody throw a fit these last few days? No pre-Thanksgiving fits for anybody? Okay. Go stand in line at one of the grocery store, and you'll Lord have mercy. I've got to say this. I know I've mentioned this, but I just one of the things that just grinds on me is I don't like people in the grocery store feeling the freedom to grab my basket and push it on down the aisle and move it out of the way. Does that annoy anybody else here? Is it just me? It's like, that's my basket. I'm paying for it today. When you go and check out, you have paid for the rental on that basket, I guarantee you. But does that happen to any of you? They just feel free. Grab your basket and push it out of the way. And it's like, you ever tempted to just forget this love thing and just grab it and push it back where it was? And just stand there and say, just touch that basket. I'm paying a high rental price for that. I got in trouble at HEB in Kerrville. And not because anybody pushing my basket or anything, but because they had they had some watermelons outside. Why put them outside? You got to go out there and get them, right? So I pushed my basket up close to the door, and then I left it and went out to get a watermelon to bring it back in. Oh my goodness, all this stuff went off. And it's like, And tell you what else happened. The wheels on my basket locked up and wouldn't turn. So I go out and get the watermelon and come back in, and there's a guy standing there. And he said, oh, I see, you were going out to get that. And I said, yeah, what did you think I was doing? I said, what did you think I was doing? He said, well, we have devices on these baskets that locks your wheels so you can't go out that door if you haven't paid. Just know that. They do in Kerrville. because the basket wouldn't move. And they send somebody after you. And so because I went out the door, they thought I was carrying something out the door. But then I came back in with the watermelon, and that's not, I'm not carrying it out, I'm carrying it in. You know, you're making money on this. So they had to do this little thing on a scanner to release the whales on the basket. And he said, just remember, next time you can stay on the carpet. Anybody been in the HEB in Kerrville? You go in and there's a tile area, then you hit the you know, a little bit of... Anyway, there's a line there, sort of invisible. It said, if you go past this line with your basket, it's going to lock you up. And it's like, and so now, you know, and here's the worst part. All these people are looking at you like, thief. You can tell what they're thinking. You didn't get away with it, did you? You tried to hide it inside a watermelon. You know, anyway, the embarrassment of it, and it's, you know, it's not real dignified, but, you know, all that happens, and you're thinking, I don't think I love these people right now. And it's all challenges and tests to us. And listen, that kind of thing hits your pride. It strikes at you, as you know, just your dignity as a person. It's like you locked my wheels up like I'm a little kid, and you just assume I'm stealing something. Thank God I was carrying that melon back through those doors. And no, I thought, I couldn't have taken my basket out if I'd have wanted to, because they locked the wheels. So now you know. If you get too close to that door with stuff unpaid for in your basket, they will lock you up. So you go into this season, regardless of baskets locking up and people pushing your stuff out of the way. Another thing that happened, I had to run it. I don't like going in stores during the holidays, but I had to run in store, you know, up there. And as an HEB, why is it that people come in from side aisles when you're in the main aisle? To me, it's like driving. I'm on the main freeway. You're on a side road. They don't stop. There's no stop signs on the side aisles. And they just come whipping out and everybody's slamming on the brakes. You go through this, right? How long does it take? How many times of that till you get in gnarly? I mean, yeah, you just... And it's a challenge when that's happening, and it's like you're in a side aisle. There's a stop sign at the end of each side aisle. Stop and look to see if anybody's on the freeway. But nobody does, and they're just pushing and shoving. And I've had some huff at me here lately, just huffing. I stopped in front of the pickles, and a lady wanted some pickles, but I wanted some pickles. And I was on the side to go in and look at the pickles. She's crossing over in the other lane. And all of a sudden, they're this, something like that. And I just look, and she's just standing there. And I said, oh, excuse me. And I thought she'd say, that's all right. She didn't. I said, oh, excuse me. And there was that glare that says you have 3 seconds to die, you know. And so I pulled the basket back, and she stepped up there, and she got her pickles. And what was I thinking? I was thinking, it's okay, lady. No, I was thinking, drop one. And I'm going to holler, top of my lungs, she broke the pickles. And then God says, what's that first point in the message you got to do Sunday? Oh, God loves you? Well, he doesn't love pickle droppers. So you go into this holiday season knowing that when you were powerless, you couldn't do a thing, Christ died for you. You were ungodly, and he made you godly. And it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God, no matter what you do, if you lose your temper, lose your cool, you get upset in the store, whatever it is, or out driving and people doing what makes you the maddest when you're driving, just remember, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you have some honorary family members you might be meeting with, some kinfolk you'd rather not see, or some friends or what, just keep saying that to yourself. Okay, God demonstrates his own love for me in this. While I was still a sinner, he died for me, so I got to remember. He tolerated me, he tolerates me, so I'll tolerate them. Secondly, God hears you. God's listening. This is out of 1 Peter 3:12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. You need to read this over. Read it over and read it over. Because there's times we feel like our prayers are just kind of going up and coming back down. They just don't go anywhere. And then he comes in here and says, God's not only watching you, but his ears are not just listening, but attentive. He's paying attention to your prayer, every prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he just kind of put that together in that, and it's like, what's he saying? He's saying, God is not listening to those who are evil. They can pray all day long, and the only prayer he'll hear is one of repentance and asking Jesus in their heart from an unrighteous person. But you, as his people, it says, his eyes are on the righteous. He knows where you are, and he's attentive to your prayer. So hear this. No matter how stressed you are, and no matter how bad it looks when you turn on the TV, no matter what anybody says or how tough life may seem to you, and your life may be tough right now, maybe it has been for a while, but know this, every prayer you pray, driving in your vehicle, walking in the yard, sitting there in the house, taking a shower, taking your bath, whatever, washing clothes, you're muttering a prayer, God is attentive to the prayer. He's hearing you. And if he's hearing you, he has an answer. You say, well, why hasn't it come? He's doing something. But I will tell you this. When God is not immediately answering your prayer, it does not mean he didn't hear it. And it does not mean he's not going to do something great. And I have found in my own life that sometimes, oftentimes, not just sometimes, but oftentimes, when God delays an answer, it's because when the answer comes, it's going to be greater than anything I ever imagined. Because his word says that by God's power at work within us, God is able to accomplish infinitely greater than anything we can possibly ask or imagine. And just let him do it. And so get frustrated and give up. There's some things I pray for, and it's like, why isn't it happen? And it's like, because I've got something better. I'm going to expand your idea and get you out of your little paradigm here. I remember the fellow, and I think it's over in Kings, but the reference right now just evades me. But the guy, he said, take the arrow and strike it on the ground. And the guy didn't understand what God was talking about, and he was upset. You read this little passage over there. And the Lord spoke to him and said, take the arrow and strike it on the ground. And he struck it on the ground about a dozen times. And then threw the arrow down because he was frustrated. And God said, only now will you have a dozen years of peace. If you would have struck that ground 36 times or whatever, you would have had that many years of peace. And now there will only be a dozen years of peace because you didn't have faith. Well, the guy didn't know what God, just the voice of the Lord speaks to him, says, strike the arrow against the ground. And he was mad. How many times have you thrown the arrow down, so to say, when you needed to keep doing what God told you to do? Strike it against the ground. Mad. And how many blessings have we missed because we let our own emotions override God? Listen, God's listening. And so through this holiday season and the days to come, if God, you get that sense of do this. Just do this out of obedience. Do it. Because you may be striking that arrow on the ground and you be sure you do it a bunch of times. I know that sounds odd, but it's true. You just read these things in Scripture and say, you got to find this passage. Somebody will find it for me. I've read through that and just it kept over, and it's over. It's an old, great Old Testament passage. One you don't hear preached on because it was just God speaking to God. He said, Israel have peace. He didn't know that. So many times you sense God telling you to do something and you don't know why he's telling you to do it. Just do it because you don't know what the outcome is. God does. But he's listening to you. And he is not listening to the unrighteous. So don't think that those that seem to be getting away with evil are going to continue to do that. Somewhere along the line, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. But in the meantime, he's listening. Even if you're muttering a prayer and you're saying it, God help me, I've just sinned, I've really blown it. You know, and he's not going to hear this. He's saying he is attentive to your prayer. Because you sin doesn't mean you have broken relationship with God. We can break our fellowship, but not our relationship. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit for the day of salvation. Is everybody good with this? So he's listening. Keep praying. He's listening. Keep praying. His eyes are on you. He knows where you are. Now, thirdly, it's so good. God chose you. He chose you. You're here because he chose you. He picked you out. And for whatever reason, it's his choosing. He tapped on your heart. The Holy Spirit came and convicted you, wouldn't let you go. And you received him and you said yes to God and asked him in your heart. Look at this. In Ephesians, he chooses us. God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You see that? When you ask Jesus into your heart, his blood cleanses your heart and your soul. And look at this. He makes you holy and blameless in God's sight. And I want to tell you this. Do I feel holy and blameless a lot of the time? No. Do you? Y'all are so quiet. You're hungry, aren't you? A good turkey leg would help right now. So I'll be closing this up real quick. Do you feel holy a lot of time? I don't. I struggle with it. I have to quote these verses, but God chose me in him to be holy and blameless. But do I feel like it? No. Are my thoughts holy all the time? Do I feel blameless in his sight? Do I feel holy and blameless coming up here? No. But I accept by faith that God says he makes me that way, and you need to do that too. And look at this. He predestined us for adoption to sonship, daughtership. But he predestined us. Now, we don't understand all that, but it says for whatever reason, he chose you and he wanted you to be adopted as his children through your faith in Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It's not done. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So you're redeemed, you're forgiven. How much more do you want? I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, you're redeemed, you're forgiven. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that God lavished on us with what? All wisdom and understanding. So let me list this thing. What's in here real quick that he talks about, and then you can study this out on your own. He says, I declare you holy. I declare you blameless. I declare you adopted. I declare you redeemed. I declare you forgiven. And I declare you wise and understanding because I give it to you. So as we go into this, you can be thankful going into this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Know this and think this over and read this, Ephesians 1, 4 through 8. God has given you all these things. James, in the book of James, he said, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and all people liberally, and he doesn't get on to you for asking. He wants to give it to you. And he says here, God gives you all of this. Look at this. Holy, blameless, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, wise, and understanding. Think that'll get you through the holidays? It's yours. You may not feel wise, may not feel holy. You may not feel that you have much understanding, but God says, I'm giving it to you. Accept it. Why don't you open your heart and let me fill you with all these things? And then let's close with this one. Yes, he's closing. He's closing. Turkey leg is near. Here it comes. So our fourth point, God gives to you. He gives to you. All these things we've just talked about, but look at what else, along with what we just said, let's read this. I'm letting Scripture speak for itself today. You know, and this is like this. It's a comforting message. It's a assuring message. It's not meant to take us into teaching. We will in the next few weeks. We'll go back and here we go again, but not today. And so what does he give you? He gives you, look at this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. My favorite part, I quote all the time. I do. I quote this and quote this and quote this. For it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. You know what he just said? You can't earn your way. You can't make me happy through your works. You can't earn salvation. But by your faith in Jesus Christ, I give it to you. Your sins are paid in full through what Jesus did on the cross, and his blood washes them away. Look at all you have. And I just listed these things out. I said, why don't we have holy and blameless and all that? Then God adds to it life. He gives us eternal life. We have life. We have love. We have mercy. We have life. We have grace. It's all in this passage. And I said, look at all this that God gives. That ought to make you happy and get you through the holidays. You have love. You have his love. You have his mercy. You have it, and his love is unfailing. His mercy never goes away. He gives you life. He raises up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realm. So I have grace and I have salvation. I have heaven. And I have grace through faith, which allows me to stand here this morning and allows me to leave here and after we eat and go through the day. That grace of God allows me to be Tony, who he made in his image, with all my little faults and failures and eccentric things. And I'm eccentric. I have these strange things. We all do. I just, you know, in my house, if you come to my house, a lot of you have, you'll find that, you know, it's clean, but it's not everything in its place. But the bullets are. You know, if you look and they're lined up, and you go in the guest bathroom, and the door stopper is a box of 12-gauge shotgun shells. I just started doing that years ago, and I just keep that box of shells there. So if you go in the guest bathroom, you have to push the shells aside. Now that's just me. That's my life. And I've had people laugh and said, you know, you've got some stuff stacked here, and some of your papers over there. But your boxes are just unlined. I said, yeah. Papers and stuff, who cares? But man, when I want a box of that, I want to go right to it. I want to know what grain it is and what caliber. I keep records and charts of all this. You know, I know how each one performs and what does this and that. Anyway, you know, and that. So those are my little things. Don't we all have things? Now in the pantry, you know, I've had folks look at that and say, we've got all that. I bet your pantry is just, and it's like, go look. And there's a pickles here, pickles, something about pickles. And then there's jelly down here, and there's some beans here, and there's some green beans down here, and pinto beans up here. And it's like, this is totally a disorganized mess. It's like, I like it. It's not bullets. Why do I care? There's just something about going in there and you're saying, oh, I'm gonna fry some meat. And you close your eyes and just reach up and grab something. It's a surprise. Just fix that, whatever comes out. Anyway, friends, listen. In spite of our little eccentric things, our hang-ups, our quirks and jerks and all the stuff that others would look at us and go and say, you know, you're weird, you're peculiar. Scripture already says we're peculiar in Christ. In spite of it all, Jesus still died on the cross for us. He rose again for us. He's seated at the right hand of God interceding for us. And he says, by grace you're saved through faith. He said, Tony, in spite of all your little things, you can't earn me. Don't try. And I'll put up with that other stuff because you asked Jesus in your heart, and by grace through faith I've saved you. You can't work and earn it. You can't do anything. You simply accept that God loves us. He hears us. He gives to us. Isn't this amazing? He gives. He gives salvation. He gives eternal life. And no matter what you face or how tense it is, you just remember this. God sees. God hears. And God knows where you are, and He knows where they are. He's listening, and He's giving you all these great and wonderful, holy, blameless, full of grace things in your life. Why don't you just stand back and open your heart and enjoy it? And have a little fun and enjoy God these holidays. Well, Lord, we thank You for the... You fed us with Your Word, the meat of the Scripture. And now, Lord, we go to partake of the food to nourish our bodies. And for everyone who brought anything, who fixed all this, thank You. Bless them. And God, we ask You to help us, forgive us, and help us to walk in the freedom and the love and the happiness and the joy of just being alive in Christ. Thanks for the food. We sure do love You. In Jesus' name, amen.